Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to another edition of We've Done How Many? Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Episode 150. Those of you who bet on the under, sorry, we've outlasted you. Those of you who bet on the over, we're still around, so you've still got a shot at winning.
Hey.
All right.
All right. Let's thank our sponsors.
I didn't think we'd last past two.
Yeah, and here we are. After like a couple reboots and everything. We're sticking with the legacy numbering, though. So we want to get to Action Comics 700 level, basically. thanks to our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs and everything geek chic. Yes, that's what they say. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just a little weird, that's fine. Find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope. You don't even have to pay for a stamp. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Gentlemen, thank you for being a part of this for 150 episodes. And I'm sorry that you've had to be a part of this for 150 episodes.
Sorry, nothing.
Well, Chad, since
at least
you...
we're getting paid, right?
Chad,
check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
I'm not much for the Revolutionary War style turn-based games. You know, the ones where you just stand there and punch face until someone falls down.
Yeah.
I get irritated with the sit and wait to be attacked mechanic. And I'm not terribly fond of the often three or four deep menu options to hit with sword. And, of course, the endless text that seems to be providing for the story. It's the definition of tell, don't show. Every time I've tried playing one of these games, it becomes an exercise in patience as I have to sit back and wait 20 minutes for the game to start. Character progression is prescribed rather than a choice, so there's little sense of control over the character I'm playing. It's like each game is actually a novel, but you're allowed to skip chapters to get to the end faster, but then you can't finish the book because the final boss is going to cheese that one attack that ends the whole party. You will read every word. So keep that all in mind when I tell you that I found Sea of Stars to be an absolute delight.
Wow, okay.
It's a beautiful game with a decent sense of humor and at least one item that's going to show up in our D&D campaign.
Nice.
The demo starts us out right away at the beginning of the game, I assume, before skipping us ahead a few levels so that we can, you know, die more flamboyantly. Combat still brought to us by 1776, but the puzzles were better, were competent, the fishing a bit tedious, though I think it would grow on me if I was playing on the Switch in itsy bitsy eye strainovision.
Yeah.
I think on a larger screen it'd be a little bit easier to do that. While reading the manual, so in your opening menu, you got, you know, start game options, you know, manual.
Right.
Read that, and I got the sense that whoever made this game really has been wanting to make this since the NES era, considering that almost the entirety of anything you do is going to involve pushing what would be the O button, but on the Switch.
A button.
Yeah. Okay. What's the game about? Haven't the foggiest. But I think that's pretty much every JRPG. The mission was about breaking into a wizard's tower to get a MacGuffin so that some pirates would take us where we wanted to go. Simple enough. And that's what I did. Right up until I lost to the final boss of that tower and turned it off. to write this review. I will say, if the final game, supposedly releasing August 29th of 2023 on PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, and Mac OS, if it retains what made this so charming and fun and good, I might be convinced to pick it up.
You heard it here.
It's not out yet, so get the demo.
A turn-based RPG that Chad is like, yeah, maybe. That is like pretty high praise. Now, I'm a hoe for turn-based RPGs, so like I probably would like it anyway. But I'm pleased that you enjoyed yourself.
I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, we specifically picked it because it had a high chance of failing.
And here we are.
And yeah, here we are.
Miracles happen, folks. Justin.
Yo.
Our little miracle. So,
shucks.
Been spending a lot of time on your phone. What have you been looking at lately?
I can't tell you. It's private.
Oh, no. The flappy.
Oh, the other thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. As many of you know, I don't get to play many video games, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the gaming community. And so I go through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think deserve a definitive answer in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. This month's question. Realistic crime/mafia games? Look, I shouldn't even be telling you this, but you seem like a nice kid. Go down to 23rd Street to Glass Joe's Pool Hall. Go to the back door and ask for Little Nemo. Tell him Noob Master 69 sent you. Now, it may not seem glamorous at first, but if you work hard and are loyal, you could work your way up the ranks. Maybe even one day meet Don Luigi himself. Nice guy. Everybody thinks his brother Mario's in charge, but that's just a cover. Mario's a patsy, heart's in the right place, but one too many hits with a piranha plant, if you know my meaning. Anyway, get out of here. I got work to do.
If I may make a suggestion, also, the game Mafia is a good one.
Never heard of it.
Thank you, Justin. Anything else you've been working on?
Yeah, I got a new Gamefly game in.
Oh, okay. It's time to see if it's skin deep or whatever here.
Yep. This month's selection. We're still working on a name for this segment, I guess. But
yeah.
This month's selection.
I do like skin deep.
How about we just call it "Still Working on a Name for
still
This Segment"?
Still working on a name for this segment. Yeah.
It's gonna be hard to write music bed for that one.
Still working. Go ahead.
This month's selection is Bomb Chicken.
Bomb Chicken.
Bomb Chicken.
Bomb Chicken.
Okay.
Yeah. B-O-M-B. New word. Chicken.
So this is
Bow Wow.
No.
So these
Bomb
are
Chicken Bow Wow.
So no. These are games that you're finding on Gamefly and just cover only.
These are games that I'm finding on Gamefly and putting into my queue based solely on the cover art. I'm like, this looks like a thing.
You know, that's how we bought games at yard sales as kids. So
yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So in Bomb Chicken, you are a chicken.
Oh, wow.
Well, I suppose it's better than using the chickens as the bombs.
Well, you lay the bombs.
Oh, okay.
You lay so you're only flying one mission per day.
Is it like Bomberman then?
Sort of.
Okay.
So you can't really do anything. There's not even a dedicated cluck button. You can move left and right. You can't jump.
2 out of 10.
Let me finish. If you walk off of a high platform, you can kind of glide down to the next one.
3 out of 10.
In order to get up to a height, you lay bombs underneath you like eggs, and it raises you up.
7 out of 10.
And then you can walk off.
Okay.
The bombs then explode.
Okay.
You can lay a bomb, jump off it, and push it, and it will roll into a wall and blow the wall up or, an enemy or whatever. But ultimately, you are a chicken, and you lay bombs.
So how does it play? Is it any good?
It is a straight-up...
Is it a blast?
Side-scrolling platformer. It has like Super Nintendo style graphics, and you play as a chicken who lays bombs. I enjoyed it.
I was about to say, like, it sounds like you had a good time.
I did.
Nice. All right, 7.5 out of 10. That sounds solid.
There is some subplot. You're in this subterranean complex.
Man, who gives a shit about the
trying
plot?
To get out, and occasionally you take an elevator to, like, a chicken altar, and you get extra hearts depending on how many.
Nine out of ten.
Depending on how many diamonds you have. But
I haven't been interested in a plot since you showed me Money Shot.
That wasn't me. That was him.
No, the movie.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Funny feelings. Kids, don't ask your parents. Just walk away.
Don't look for it. Don't look for it.
Safe search on.
Safe search on.
Incognito mode. All right.
It's on our Pornhub page.
Don't look for it. If I find out which one of you, not you guys, but like listeners, because I know one of you did it. Because I got linked to it. And I got it taken down. But whichever one of you did it, stop it. Oh, hi, Discord. So I've got a number of reviews. Do we have anything else, gentlemen? Because I'm going to be running through a bunch of games.
No, I'm tapped.
Well, I did start playing this other game.
Okay.
It's called Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Chad?
This
is episode 150. We don't need to be recycling things.
It's quite good, though.
It is good. Yes, it's a good game.
I mean,
I recommend it.
I've never heard of this.
You?
I mean, I'm still in process. I mean, I'll probably have to finish the review next month.
Okay. Well, just let me know.
It's good.
Yeah.
So far.
It's a Ubisoft game, so it's basically... No, I reviewed it. I'm not doing that. So, let's see what else there is.
Touchy, touchy. Jeez.
Gentlemen, if you watched one of our latest Deep Cave plays... I apologized to the audience because a game that I promised to review kept getting pushed back because we have just been blessed with an abundance of games. And unfortunately, I only have 7 hours. I can sleep at a time, and I'm working the rest of it. So rapid fire. These are all reviews in progress. Keep that in mind. Let's go. Hi-Fi Rush. This was just stealth dropped on Xbox Game Pass. It's available on Steam, it's available on PC, on Xbox. It's a Bethesda game. It's a third-person action adventure. You will see a Deep Cave plays of this if it's not already out by the time you hear this podcast. So, the story is, you play as a guy named Chai, like the tea. He has a busted-up arm, and so he's going to this factory to get a new sweet robot arm. And while they're in the manufacturing process, and by that I mean they put him on like one of those cartoonish presses where he's going to get slammed with a piston and then, of course, pop new arm. It's not a Zune. It's a Zune. But his Microsoft-branded MP3 player that is not a Zune inadvertently gets compressed into his chest, and now his heartbeat is synced up to whatever music happens to be playing on his... not an iPod at any particular point in time. What you get is a rhythm-based action platformer with combat and everything synced to the music. Your steps, your combat, as far as like your attacks, both light and heavy attacks, when you jump, when you double jump, when you dash, the enemy's attacks, just random things in the background, all synced up to the soundtrack. Soundtrack is marvelous. The game is gorgeous. It's got this cell shading that it's going to age really well. And the two main leads, Chai and Peppermint. So you see where...
Like the tea?
Yeah, like the tea. So you see where they're going. And the first boss is the head of quality control because you're a defect, and so they need to like keep you from leaving the factory. And this is a large Amazonian woman with a wrestling title belt and a business suit on. It's delightful. And I highly recommend Hi-Fi Rush based on what I played so far.
All right.
So, and that's available. If you have Game Pass, you're not risking anything. It's free to try on Game Pass. So, moving on. Metroid Prime Remastered. So, Liz handles our web content, right? And so, she was telling me about a few of the things that were announced at the latest Nintendo Direct. What she neglected to tell me was something I'd been waiting for ever since the Switch dropped. Because there had been rumors of a remaster of Metroid Prime, which originally hit the GameCube. So I'm looking through the notes, and then I just text her, Metroid Prime what?
She was a little bit flustered.
I'm sorry.
By the...
I'm sorry, it was in all caps.
We did end up watching the YouTube video, though.
Yeah.
Where the first 8 or so minutes
I did is, a DP just, plays,
is
yeah.
just Darren sounding incredibly happy.
So,
If you ever just need something to make your day a little bit better.
And puppies and kittens don't do it. Okay.
8 minutes of Darren gushing over.
It looked so good. They took the GameCube game and they call it remastered, but it's essentially a remake, graphically from the ground up. And the best part, Nintendo, look, Nintendo, if you were a person that I could embrace right now, I would do that for one simple reason. That is that you fixed the bloody controls. First-person shooter. Right stick moves the camera, right? Not on the GameCube version of Metroid Prime. No, it just kind of moves your gun kind of up and down. And if you want to aim, you got to make Samus stand still and then aim like a fucking Abrams tank. But no, in Metroid Prime Remastered, you can move and aim and shoot all at once. Huh. So it feels great. Combat is good. And, you know, unlike other times where I've tried to get into Metroid Prime, I've gotten a lot farther. Because I can actually play the damn game now. So, thank you, Nintendo, for fixing the game. Metroid Prime Remastered, so far so good. Full review of that, and basically all the games that I'm mentioning in this rapid fire segment will be up at geekkpodcast.com once they're done. And speaking of once they're done, and I need to preface this next one with a couple of factoids. One, we received a review copy for this next title. We received a review code that, in fact, I didn't request. Just got it, because we're on Warner Brothers Games mailing list. Number two, the review of this game does not in any way endorse or support any campaigns that belittle or run down any particular lifestyle or any particular type of person. We review this game based solely on the merits of the game itself and the hard work that the staff put in. That being said, let's talk about Hogwarts Legacy. Hogwarts Legacy is a game that has had this albatross around its neck based on stuff that has nothing to do with the people who made the game. Based on the numerous staff from a diverse cast of people and of faiths, of lifestyles, people who are trans, people who are not.
Did they do the same thing like they did with the original Assassin's Creed?
No.
Where they just,
no,
like,
this is just me.
Like they're getting ahead of it?
No, this is just me. And
the original Assassin's Creed made sure that we knew.
Yeah. And I say all that because, you know, we did away with news and current news and current events from the podcast because we want this to be a fun place where you just enjoy the things that you're into. So all that to say, goddamn, is Hogwarts Legacy good. It is very, very good. You play as a fifth-year student entering Hogwarts for the first time. So you're jumping ahead 4 years. I haven't gotten far enough in to know why that is the case, but your character seems to be able to perceive and use an ancient type of magic that is very, very rare. Basically, it is an open world RPG, and it is what I believe that every Harry Potter fan has been wanting in a video game. Spellcasting is intuitive and quick, and Chad, you'll like this. When you think of combat as far as switching between one thing and another, and I say the words Kingdoms of Amalur to you,
Ooh. You
know what that means. You know how fluid, how quick that and responsive that is. That's what you get from Hogwarts Legacy as far as spells where you can cast Leviosa on an enemy and then Accio and pull them in and then Incendio with like 3 button presses. It's very, very intuitive. The story is well done so far from what I've read from the subtitles and from what I've played. And we tested this game out both on the Steam Deck and on a gaming PC. And I will tell you up front, this is the first Steam Deck verified title I've come across where there is a noticeable drop in performance. Not necessarily bad, but you can tell that the textures are dumbed down a little bit. Visuals are a little muddied, that kind of thing. I tested this both on a Steam Deck docked with a TV as opposed to a Steam Deck in handheld mode. Looks better in handheld mode, frankly. But it will chug your battery, especially on medium settings. So you might want to have a spare battery or leave it plugged into the dock. But yeah, from a gameplay perspective, from a narrative perspective, they got the music, y'all. They got the John Williams music and everything. It feels like you're wandering around Hogwarts. It feels like you are a part of this massive cast. You can go to class. You can nope off and head over to the Forbidden Forest. You can do all these things that you've always wanted to do in a Harry Potter video game not named Lego. So, yes, if you would ask me today whether I recommend Hogwarts Legacy, it would be a resounding yes. And the full review will be at dkpodcast.com by the time this episode goes live.
So how do they handle like some of the vet stuff?
Vet stuff?
Yeah, with the warts and everything on the pigs. Especially,
I get it.
Especially the ones that are passed on genetically.
I get it. Now,
a legacy of warts.
I get it. There is an herbology. I do have to talk about one of these side quests. See, whatever house you choose, that determines how many side quests you get. Ravenclaw gets the least. Gryffindor gets a fair amount. So does Slytherin. Hufflepuff is the only one that gets to take a field trip to Azkaban. And so that's the one that I went with. One of the side quests involved a kid who started to run his mouth about how brave he was, asking you to go find proof by killing this giant plant so he could prove how brave he was. And yeah, of course, you can either do it for him or you can kill the plant, but then keep it and rub it in his face. And it's wonderful. So, yeah.
Salicylic acid.
So, okay.
Yeah. Soak it with some Epsom salts. And then
I hear duct tape works, but
that doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I mean, why would you tape a duck to a hog?
I mean, I don't understand.
I mean,
unless you're trying to get the pig to float.
That is true, yes.
I mean, I don't know. Do they make life preservers to fit pigs? I mean, ducks might be the only thing you got.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
What?
Hi.
Hi.
Are we done?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is when you give a good review and say, there's nothing to make fun of.
Oh, well.
So we've got to make fun of.
That in mind. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
I'm sorry, Justin. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, there's plenty of things to make fun of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Concerning.
It's time for the Pile of Shame.
Things.
Yeah. It's time for the Pile of Shame. When I say the words Milton Bradley, what do you think of?
Board games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Hungry Hungry Hippos, right? Connect Four. Crossfire, which
I remember. Crossfire
looked much better in the commercials than it did playing.
Crossfire.
Yeah, I love how they took the theme to Crossfire and did Steve Young Football, and that was terrible. The Game of Life, among others, right? Well, at least until it was bought out by Hasbro and went away in the late 90s.
Hasbro,
hey, freaking pony transformer jerks. But Milton Bradley, makers of beloved board games, also dipped their toes into the video game market during the heyday of the NES.
Yay!
With the 1990 release of Abadox, The Deadly Inner War.
The what?
You know, for kids.
Okay.
So, welcome to the Pile of Shame. This year is the year of the NES. We are celebrating the Nintendo Entertainment System, or Famicom's, 40th anniversary. Dear God, I'm old. And as a result, we're looking back at this great, great system and seeing, do these games still hold up? Have I made a terrible mistake by excluding Mario and Zelda from the lineup? I mean, yeah, the answer to that second question is absolutely yes. But either I have a pile of games, I got to get through them, or at least they're just going to mock me. So let's get started. It's a shmup. Abadox is a shmup, a shoot 'em up game, like Gradius, R-Type, 1942. I'm not seeing any recognition on any of the faces in here. So
did up, up, down, down?
No, that.
I mean, I realize it's like Konami.
It's not like Contra. No, but okay. So you fly a little plane, and the screen moves sideways on its own, and you shoot things that come your way.
Oh, like the little game between the second and third period in Blades of Steel.
Yes.
Okay,
that,
cool.
That was like Gradius. That was like a little bit of Gradius right there.
Awesome.
So, all right.
Okay, so, I'm on board now.
That. So,
so this is a game that fits in between periods of a hockey game.
Okay.
More or less. Sounds simple. One catch. In Abadox, you are playing a spaceman, not a spaceship, and you're flying around inside a giant alien monster's guts.
Okay.
It's probably the game that inspired all those memes about how Ant-Man would beat Thanos when you think about it.
Hmm.
We'll circle back around to that.
Hmm.
Now, according to the game's official manual, because why not?
You still have the manual?
Oh, no. I had to look it up. I haven't had the manual in years. I got this game at a yard sale. In the year 5012, so we've still got time to prepare, the planet Abadox is eaten by a giant alien organism known as Parasitus. The end. Oh, wait, there's more. Having consumed Abadox, the alien takes the form of Abadox. You ever just say a word so often it loses all meaning?
Bowl.
And it's
shoe.
And the fake Abadox starts devouring other planets. The galactic military launches an attack but is destroyed by the fake Abadox, who goes on to devour the hospital ship carrying Princess Maria. Princess of what? It's unclear. Second Lieutenant Nasal. Get it? Because we're doing body horror stuff. The only surviving fighter of the galactic fleet, Nasal, flies up Parasitus's fake Abadox's nostril to rescue Princess Maria before it's too late. So yeah, it's a combined alien body horror situation and your classic princess rescue operation.
Does the ship look like a nose?
No.
Does it look like a finger?
No, it looks like a guy. Looks like a guy. Just a little guy in a spacesuit. Now, if you saw the Geek Cave Plays of Abadox, you can find it on our YouTube channel or at geekcavepodcast.com, cheap plug here, you pretty much know what you're getting. It's another game that's a prime example of NES hard, where it can feel unfairly difficult at times, because Nintendo thought that kids would rent games once and then never play them again if they could beat them. Nintendo must not have realized that, like, the joy of completion is like a drug, and I will keep coming back to it. But I digress. Enemies look like eyeballs and brains and so on, because that's how the inside of an alien works, I guess.
Well, how are we to prove them wrong?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You pick up power-ups to go faster or shoot more bullets. Lather, rinse, repeat. If you take one hit, you die. Just the one. And you lose all of your upgrades. And you're sent back to a checkpoint in a random part of the level. If you were lucky enough to get there in the first place. And you're not going to know if you did until you die.
Oh my.
Oh, one neat thing is that sometimes you'll go from a side scroller to a vertical scroller. But the combat is the same.
Huh, neat.
Yeah. Except most of those you're going from the bottom of the screen to the top. In this one, you're going top down because creativity. Abadox also borrows from Metroid in that you're having to fly really fast and escape a self-destructing area at the end of the game, although in this case, unlike Metroid, you are having to hurry up and fly out of the giant alien's asshole. Yep. Abadox is a trip, let me tell you.
It's the natural end of the other tube.
Abadox is a trip. Is it indicative of the best Nintendo Entertainment System has to offer? Hell no! This thing is hard and frustrating and one of those games where you sit there after you beat it and you're like, did I really win? Or did the game somehow win? It is, however, a fun diversion and it's fairly cheap to pick up on eBay. It'll only take a couple hours to beat it if you're good at it. Or if you're like me and you have rapid fire on your controller. I give it 2 exploding alien assholes out of 5. Check out our other podcasts, including yesterday's comics episode and tomorrow's movies episode. Our movie review podcast, You Want Me to Watch What? On the 2nd and 4th full weeks of the month. The week 3 podcast on, strangely enough, the 3rd full week of the month.
Huh.
It's weird how that works out. You can also find news, videos, social media links, and more at geekcavepodcast.com, including all of our Let's Plays, the occasional Retromantics, and all that stuff. Be sure to tell your friends about how they can find us on all of your favorite podcast services. And if they don't like the show, they're not your friends. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Remember that full-ass roasted chickens you find inside your drywall is perfectly safe to eat as long as you uncovered it with a whip first, and everyone's a geek for something.